Yes. This meeting of the Senate Health, Housing, and Family Security Committee will come to order. And obviously, the big reason we're here is to see the... It's unusual to have a committee hearing that's watching a video, but the PBS video, Unnatural Causes, I think people have seen it, is very powerful impact explaining why it was some of the causes of our health problems. And so we wanted to show the movie for people here, and unfortunately a lot of members of the committee are busy with other committees today. But we wanted to start with the Commissioner of Health making a presentation on health disparities in Minnesota. And Commissioner, we are glad you could be here. We have a number of House and Senate staff here, and obviously not a lot of legislators right now, but a lot of interested folks in the community, too, who are active in health care. And we really appreciate your coming here and making a presentation to get us started.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm pleased to be here today. I am Dr. Sandy Magnin. I am Commissioner of Health. And I'm going to give just a brief overview of the Eliminating Health Disparities Initiative to tee up this movie. So many of you, or some of you, have seen this presentation before. So I am cognizant that I'm between you and a movie that is probably much better than any PowerPoint you've seen. So I will do this very quickly in the time that we have. So just a summary around how, as Commissioner of Health, that I've been in the office for a little over a year now, that I am seeing eliminating health disparities as very important for our state and for our state's health, that progress is being made, that we are building leadership and capacity, and that disparities are decreasing, but there's more that needs to be done. The next stage of the initiative is going to focus on more integration of elimination of health disparities, more upstream interventions, which I think this movie is going to reinforces our need to do that, and more measurement and evaluation. The statewide effort has been about eliminating disparities in eight areas that was designated by the legislature in 2002 with the addition of the healthy youth development one that was added. There are statewide goals around reducing disparities in infant mortality and childhood immunization, and then there are the other priority areas to reduce disparities. The rationale for reducing disparities is because of the multiple rationales, but accelerating changes in demographics in Minnesota. Right now we have 14% populations of color in American Indian in 2005. That will increase to 25% by 2035, and it's projected for the nation by 2050 that the majority now becomes the minority and the minority becomes the majority. So there are clearly demographic changes that makes it imperative for our state to be focusing on how to eliminate health disparities, not only for the financial impact, but just for the moral and ethical obligation. MDH's mission is to protect, maintain, and improve the health of all Minnesotans. The initiative so far has focused on strengths, assets, and resources in the community. That's where we've built our leadership and capacity, using grantees to explore innovative and effective practice, and to make certain that we have a foundation on which to continue this elimination of health disparities, disparities that have been generated over not just a few years, but over decades and centuries and generation upon generation. It's not something you can expect to eliminate in a time period of 2001 to 2009. Grantee overview, there have been 44 counties in which organizations have received eliminating health disparities grants, 10 tribes, and there have been a total of 42 grantees. As you can see, the grantees have gone across all the priority areas, and you can see the population that we have reached. It's about, if you said some of these people may have received multiple services within this, so there may be some double counting. But even if you said there's not double counting, I think that total number comes out to like 50,000. Yeah, 55,000. So hold that thought for something that we'll come back to later. In the Eliminating Health Disparities Initiative so far, we've focused in the red circle here, in the individual factors, looking at health risks, looking at some of the behaviors, trying to get some services to people. We really do need to move into the other areas, and we'll talk just briefly about that later. The statewide outcomes, we have made substantial progress in reducing disparities in all the priority areas. We have not met all the goals yet. And across all of the indicators, you can see that some have been eliminated. There's been improvement. Some, unfortunately, have showed an increase, and some there wasn't any current disparity. The infant mortality, you can see that was one of our goals for a 50% reduction. We're on track, but we haven't met it yet in African American and African American population and American Indian, but we have met our goal from the legislative statute in the Asian and Hispanic population. That does not mean that we don't need to continue to reduce infant mortality. If you look at the U.S. as a country, you would think with all the money that we are spending in healthcare that we would have the lowest infant mortality in the world. We do not. We do not. And so we are spending, I just heard in the RWJ report that came out, the United States is spending $2 trillion in healthcare. That is nearly half of all the world's expenditures in healthcare. And we do not rank highest in many indicators, like life expectancy, just a basic indicator. We do not rank the highest as the rest of the country. So we have to remember that more healthcare does not necessarily mean better health or better healthcare. Immunization goal, currently we only have what we call apples to carrots data comparisons, but our immunization registry is poised to provide this timely immunization by race and ethnicity. We are connecting with groups such as Health East, just made a connection recently to provide their data electronically from their electronic medical records securely and confidentially into this immunization registry, including race and ethnicity data. Our immunization in adults, and I have this slide in here particularly because we do not have Minnesota-specific data on some of our immunizations for adults. We do need to enhance the data that we have by expanding BRFSS. That's our Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System to allow for analysis by race and ethnicity. And I'm pleased to say dollars are in that in the governor's budget that was submitted to the legislature. So back to the chart that I showed before that shows the many things, and there are probably other things on here, this is not meant to be totally exhaustive, but to show to you that there are more things than individual factors that impact upon health. The social determinants and environmental factors, education, the ability to have access, the living conditions, income, housing, the environmental factors that relate to health. And then the system factors about the healthcare system delivery, local public health. What are we doing in the environment to protect people's health as far as related to tobacco and obesity, the physical environment, the policies that we have around that. So we're seeing that for version 2.0, we've called what we have done in eliminating health disparities version 1.0, that version 2.0 will build on the leadership and capacity in the community, that we need to integrate this initiative inside and outside MDH and into the community. Eliminating health disparities cannot just be one person's job or one group's job. It needs to become all of our jobs. We need to be thinking about that across the spectrum of what we do. And we need to explore with the community the policy and social determinants interventions. And I again take the opportunity to congratulate the legislature on passing Freedom to Breathe. And I tell people, it doesn't matter what your race or ethnicity is now. You can walk into public establishments in Minnesota and you are protected against the harms of secondhand smoke. It doesn't matter if you're African or Asian or Hispanic or American Indian. If you work in those bars and restaurants, you are now protected against the harms of secondhand smoke. That's the kind of things that we need to explore in the social and policy arena around ways to reach the most Minnesotans. So I come back to, remember I told you that our initial initiative has done a lot of great good, but at best we have reached over 50,000 Minnesotans, communities of color and American Indians. We have 750,000 people of color and American Indians in Minnesota. We need to begin to think about how we can do the policy and social determinants, interventions, environmental changes that reach everyone. When Minneapolis, I live in southeast Minneapolis, and we are making complete streets over there with making our streets bikeable and walkable. It doesn't matter what your race and ethnicity is. Everyone in my neighborhood that's very diverse will have ability to be more physically active because of what we're doing. So clearly we need individual initiatives done, but we also need to think about, with limited resources, how we can move into the social and environmental determinants that impact populations. And then we need to improve our measurement and evaluation, and that needs to be embedded throughout our entire system. So, summary, eliminating health disparities initiative is important. Progress is being made. We are going to build on the leadership and capacity that the department has been working with the communities to build, and they have been building themselves. We need more integration inside MDH, outside MDH. I'm pleased to see that health systems are beginning to collect race and ethnicity data and beginning to report that. I'm pleased to see that Minnesota Community Measurement is exploring ways to report on childhood immunization, diabetes, by race and ethnicity, and we need to continue that work. So that's, Mr. Chairman, I'm done with that formal presentation. Want to leave you plenty of time to get to the movie, but I'm certainly happy to answer any brief questions people might have.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. I want to welcome Representative Bunn to the committee, and thank you for the presentation. Two quick announcements as we prepare to view the thing, or two quick comments, one of which is when we're looking at groups and types of diversity that we have to try and address these disparities in, just got a note from the Commission of Deaf, Blind, and Hard of Hearing Minnesotans that they feel there are lots of disparities in that in general, broader disability community. I mean, we had testimony last year in, I think it was the Poverty Commission, about a number of women with disabilities who haven't had pap smears in 10 years because they can't even get up on the examination table and so on. And so I think that the whole issue of disability communities, I don't know if the department's looked at that, but I think it would be helpful if they could include that as you move forward to 2.0. So I'll make that comment. And then number two, Blandon Foundation, or one of the Minnesota foundations, put together a video study documentary on Minnesota health disparities. I think it was last year. And it's coming out to be available to the public in DVD form sometime in a month or so, I believe. But I really appreciate your presentation, what the department's doing, and we'll turn towards the movie. And if there are, with the spots that are not being taken by committee members, might save some because we may get some more committee members here, but if others want to move, if you're out of the way and can't see, you're welcome to take seats at the table for this viewing. So